Do you think that pop country at all influences your writing, or is it just...
Probably absolutely not. No.
My guest today is Salem Cullen. He is an 18-year-old singer-songwriter from Salt Spring Island, BC. Pulling inspiration from country, roots, and rock, he began writing original songs after discovering artists like Johnny Cash, John Denver, and Chris Stapleton. In 2021, he made an introduction with a single, "What Poison Are You Picking Tonight?", showcasing his Western twang. Salem's debut self-produced eponymous album came out last year, displaying the development of his songwriting and identifiable country sound. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Salem. You are 18.
I'm 18.
You're 18 years old, and you've already released, what is it, 4 singles and an album?
I think it's, yeah, something like that.
An album with 13 songs.
13 songs.
Multiple singles.
Multiple singles.
You've played at Sunfest.
Yeah, that too.
That's amazing. So I guess we should just, from the beginning, talk about how we know each other. We're from the same town.
Yep.
The first time I met you, I was actually doing a songwriting workshop with the local high school music program. And I had just moved back after living in Nashville and working at a record label. And I came in and introduced myself to the class. And you said, "How can I get signed to a Nashville record label?" And then you played one of your songs, and I was like, "Who is this kid?" And you must have been, what, like 14 or 15 at the time?
I think it was probably 16, I think. Oh, well, yeah, GISPA, so I would have been 16.
Yeah, that's... I remember laughing to myself, like, at the very beginning of the class, you were just... Yeah. Anyways, so that stood out to me, and it's quite unusual in our area of the world in BC to have such a strong country sound in a songwriter. So tell me a little bit about how you came into songwriting, what your relationship with music was like when you were young, and how you got into it.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty much born into it. Mm-hmm. When I was like 2, my parents bought me a drum set and I started playing drums.
Oh, okay.
And they were in a band together, so I was pretty much like always around it. And the drummer Neil, he just leave his drum kit unattended, and I'd pretty much crawl onto the drum set and start playing drums.
Oh my gosh.
So that was like pretty much all I knew for a while, and then I guess later I would play at school and stuff like that, and just like get into jazz band. And my dad was like adamant. He's like, "You should just take band. Like, trust me, you're gonna totally regret not doing
it."
He knows what's up.
That guy knows what's up.
Looking back now, he was right. But yeah.
So did that. You started playing drums at what age? 0?
I wouldn't say 0, but probably like 2. I think like 2 or 3. Like,
okay.
This is just stuff that my parents have told me. So like I remember that drum set, mm-hmm. but like it pretty much my memories of that like kind of were just like it's always been there in my life. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when did you pick up a guitar for the first time?
Yeah. So I guess kind of like middle school. So I must have been like 8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
9, 10, something like that. I don't know. But my, my dad bought me a Epiphone acoustic. And I think I remember really falling in love with acoustic guitar then, and like learning chords. Like I'd always just detune it to drop D and be like, "Oh, look, I can play guitar," but it's not playing. It's
accessible.
It's accessible, right?
It is playing.
Yeah. But I think when I was learning that too, it was pretty easy because country music is very simple.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of the appeal nowadays because people are wanting to, it's so complicated with production and stuff like that. But yeah, I found a bunch of songs, and then I remember my dad found Country Roads by John Denver.
Oh my gosh.
Which like
a classic.
But even before it had like its huge like resurgence, and everyone was like, "This is such a great song," and it like got crazy on the internet, but I was like, "Oh, this is actually really wholesome."
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, totally. So what kind of music did your parents play?
Well, originally my dad played in a metal band, which I think a lot of angsty teenagers do.
That is so funny. Yeah.
Like heavy though. Like he shows me videos and they were like totally going off.
Wow.
It was awesome.
And that's a 180 turn.
But then, well, he started playing reggae.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Reggae and dub. So that's pretty much what I remember them playing, was a lot of reggae, a lot of dub.
Dub being dubstep?
No, like dub's like more electronic, okay. I guess. Okay. I think it's right. definitely got like its own sound. Under the umbrella of things, I think it's probably closer to reggae than dubstep.
Right. So when you were younger, were your parents like around the house playing a lot of country music and roots and stuff? Like what was your transition into just falling in love with country?
Yeah, so I guess when my dad found John Denver and was like finding songs that, because we always were playing music in the house, like it wasn't just country. Like I don't remember like ever in my childhood until that point playing country. It was like I'd hear it here and there, like, oh, that's cool, whatever, and not really think anything of it. But then I started actually learning guitar, and he would pick out like songs for us to jam out to. And then, like, you know, he'd find like this Lynyrd Skynyrd song, and then it would like all sorts of stuff. But
was it Sweet Home Alabama?
No, actually it was Simple Man. Simple nice. Man was like definitely one that him and I played a lot, and like we play it occasionally together, and it's like, I don't know, it definitely hits home.
That's but beautiful.
I think it was when we bought a house, like, well, I didn't, my parents did, but we were renovating a house, and I think we just had like radio playing all the time, so we'd hear country. And then we heard, this was probably really soon after, like, Chris Stapleton made his huge, yeah. like, just, like, entrance into this scene that he's pretty much been, like, in, but behind the curtain of, yeah. like, songwriting in Nashville. But, mm-hmm. yeah, we heard Chris Stapleton, and we just loved it. I'm like, oh, this is, like really good.
Yeah.
Like, this is just it. Solid music, like, regardless of genre. Like, it's just, like, generational talent. So yeah. I think that point was, like, oh, I want to do a whole deep dive on, like, just like really start listening to country all the time. And like at this point I had already been like learning guitar and like new chords and stuff like that, so covering his songs was huge in like learning guitar and developing in the country world. And then also I probably should mention that during this whole time of like doing these renos and listening to a lot of country, I was in the music programs in grade like 9 and 10. Grade 9, not so much, but more in grade 10 when I took music composition, where we were actually writing songs. And this was like right during COVID. So we had 3-hour classes to write music, which was like half my day. My day was math. And then I'd get the other half and go home after doing that and then like hack out whatever the rest of the song I needed. And it was just like so much time.
Was that the structure of the class system during COVID?
Yeah, it was like just quarters. You do like 3 hours a day of the same class. That's and not crazy. A lot of leaving either. You'd maybe get like 5-10 minutes out of your entire day to leave your class.
Wow.
But that's when you're in a music class, why would you want to leave?
Exactly. Salem and I went to the same high school, had a different music professor, but you know, went through the same program. But yeah, when I was in high school, I used to leave my science class and say I was going to the washroom and then go to the music room and lock myself in one of those little side
Very
rooms
guilty.
And write songs. And thank goodness my teacher didn't say anything about it. I would just like sneak in. But okay, so during that whole process of like discovering country music, discovering Chris Stapleton, who I totally agree with you, he's like, it's like heart and soul. It's like going back to when country originated, like what it meant, you know? Yeah. So that happened. And I feel that I've heard you say before that a lot of your kind of like Western Southern influence was because of your grandfather's ranch.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah. So he...
That's how you became a cowboy.
In massive quotations. But yeah, no, my grandpa, he had a ranch for a while and he would train horses. So whenever we'd go and visit my family out in the Kootenays, which country out there is huge, like that, it's pretty similar to Alberta. I wouldn't say as like die hard. I think it's a little more casual. Like people own horses and people own ranches and do all these things, but it definitely has the mountain vibe. It's very, I don't know, it feels different. Mm-hmm. I haven't spent a lot of time in Alberta, so I might be just totally full of it. But
so the ranch was in the Kootenays.
Yes.
So it was Kootenays. Still in BC.
Still in BC. So like Fort Steele area. And it's just beautiful. So we would just enjoy summers out there. And he would, he'd invite us over. He'd do these horse camps and teach kids how to ride horses, which is how I learned originally. But near the end of it, I kind of knew what I was doing. And I'd just pretty much help other kids learn and do what I could around to just kind of help out. But yeah, I think then after like hearing country and doing that, I remember a couple times, like, he had this, like, I remember one time he had this bluegrass band come over and play, but he was just trying to get me to go up and sing, and I'd like just had been learning guitar.
Such a grandpa thing to do. So, yeah,
but it was more like, at first he was like, hey, do you want to go up? I'm like, no, please, no, I do not want to get up. And then eventually he's like, all right, Salem would like to come and play with you guys. I'm like,
oh my gosh. Why? That never ends, by the way. Oh, I'm literally about to turn 28 and my dad still does that to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I spent a lot of time out there, but I think eventually he did lose the ranch over this whole like kind of dispute, and he lost it, and that was like really
devastating.
I wouldn't say like devastating, because I feel like devastating. I guess we grieved. Yeah, maybe it was devastating. I don't know.
That actually was the inspiration for one of your songs, right?
Yes.
And I believe that's my favorite song of yours.
I think it's a lot of people's favorite. I think just it's the story behind it, I think, is huge, and mm-hmm. I think it adds to it. Like, when I hear an artist and know about an artist's past, and then like have that already in the back of my mind, and then I hear a song and can kind of connect the dots, like I've made it pretty obvious, because like at shows I'm like, this is a song from my grandpa, and like mm-hmm. make it as clear as day that that's what that song's about. And
that's
like
really meaningful though.
Yeah.
And the name of that song,
Straw Hat Crown,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And metaphorically, that just, you know, there's so many there's so many metaphors to pull from even just that title. And lyrically, yeah. Like, for some reason, I think of Jesus.
Oh, that's true. I've never...
with the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's incredible to see how you are just naturally... Maybe it's because of the influence of the music that you've listened to and growing up with musical parents, but you just seem to have this, like, natural ability to... write and present these songs that are like incredibly complex, and you don't even realize it. Like, I know you talk about country is so simple, and it absolutely is. I mean, I think I can't remember who said it, but that saying, three chords and the truth, is, have you heard that?
Luke Combs?
No, that's not Luke Combs.
Or no, it's four chords and the truth. He says it in one of his songs. I'm trying to remember the one off the top of my head. But
I think that's when I was living in Nashville, that was like a saying that was going around forever. But it's true. So do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Yeah, it wasn't like a full song. And I don't even have it written down or anywhere, and I should.
It's in your mind.
It's
the depths of your brain.
It was Crimson Boots and Cowboy Hat. So I think when I was first writing, and this is when I wrote When Poison Ivy Picked It, I was just really trying to make the honky tonk twangy sounds, which I want to go back to more. I think like I've written a few songs like that, but I think now when I write, I'm trying to like almost replicate and go back and be like, no, I was doing something right. Like, I gotta...
Was this around when you were going to your grandfather's ranch?
I think it was a little bit. I think 15. And right. I hate
You're
to say it, but
living
I think...
the lifestyle.
Living the lifestyle. But I don't know. I think I was just, like, a total, like, turd of a kid. So I was, like, out partying with my friends. And I'm like, my friends are gonna like this song, and I play it. Which is, like... I think I want to write more meaningful stuff and not just, like, party songs. But
it's... I mean, you know, it's part of your story.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that... So when I play What Poison Are You Picking Tonight, I think people love it so much because it was like they remember kind of that, but I'm like, it's not.
Right. Salem with his cowboy boots and cowboy hat in the kitchen at a high school party playing a country song for everyone. That is a unique high school experience. But so also, What Poison Are You Picking Tonight? How old were you when you wrote that?
Like 15.
15. So at 15, you were just
16.
That's when you started singing about whiskey and wine. And
everybody, I played that actually for the music class, and it was pretty funny watching Miss Foots, because she was laughing and like, it's a good song, but she's like, everyone that heard it was just like, okay, like, do you actually live that lifestyle? I'm like, no. And like, you know, it's
well,
like.
Well, you were influenced by Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, so. And country. I think, like, I don't know. I think the whole thing with alcohol and country, it kind of like, there's some people who are really just big no, and like I feel like those people are probably more meaningful songwriters, and I think have songwriting in their back pocket regardless of genre. And then I think there's a lot of people that just like, especially okay, when I was at Sunfest, I think it was just like I saw so much of the like boots, beer, trucks, and like everyone makes fun of country because of that, but it was like so much of it, I was like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, this is actually it might be too much.
It's too much. It's way too much. And like, you know, it's funny because every day I'm like here on Salt Spring, that's like pretty common to like, I guess, see in like the crowd that I'm in of like people who like are blue collar or whatever.
You see boots and beer and trucks.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not really that much of like, I don't know. I just, it kind of triggers me a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I just, like, what is your opinion of, as someone who plays and writes and is influenced by country music, right, but primarily like old, like you said, meaningful, you know, bluegrass and, you know, classic country. How do you feel about pop country
and it has where its place. It's heading? I think, well, I don't know. I'm not really too into where it's heading. Like, I'm not really paying attention that much to that scene, but I do hear it. And like, I turn on country radio and I do hear it.
93.7.
Yep. But, I don't know. I feel like it's going in its own direction and it's like not really anything people can control, right? Like, it's a music industry and like all genres are kind of doing not like similar things, because every genre's got its different spin on it, but like the people are capitalizing on what sells to the masses, right? So I think
beer and trucks
boots, and
they sell,
which I'm no judgment here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean I feel like Luke Combs, I'm really not that knowledgeable about pop country, but mm-hmm. I feel like Luke Combs is a good example of someone who's very mainstream, but also is a really incredible singer and songwriter.
Yeah, I saw him live and it was like incredible. Like, I will say that like I was pretty much as excited for the opening acts as I was for Luke Combs. That being said,
that's amazing though.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't know. He's got a way of doing it that isn't too in your face, right? It's mm-hmm. Luke Combs. You know it. And it's like every song that I hear of his, I probably know like all the lyrics, or like, is there's a way of doing it that isn't like, it doesn't feel like it's being sold to you. Like, I think the record labels are doing that, but he's an artist, right? And you appreciate his art.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Well, that's hopeful. Yeah. So crimson boots and cowboy hats.
Yeah.
So that was the first song you ever wrote.
It was like probably a verse and a chorus. And again, I've no like record of it or anywhere. Like,
no, you don't remember it at all. You don't plan to.
Well, pull I that remember
out of your back pocket one day.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, again, like I definitely like going back, like to like, I'll write a bunch of half finished ideas and then go back and refine them. And I think a lot of people do that, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like, when I'm writing, I don't like force. Like, if I have to force a song out, I stop, because it's not natural. It doesn't click. Like, I write very fast, and if it doesn't work, I just put the pen down and carry on with something else. Or, you know, like, I kind of like being multifaceted, because I can get bored of something and go to the next thing and it still be music related, but not really feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
what does your writing process look like?
It depends. Typically, I'm doing something and I put what I'm doing down and either like quickly write it down and come back to it and sit down with it. But it's usually just like, what I used to do was I'd write an idea, like Straw Hat Crown, for example. I wrote that line down and then put it away and then came back to it and would just like sit with that melody or like that idea, and just the song would flow. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a chorus, sometimes it's a verse, sometimes it's two verses and the chorus comes later, or vice versa. It's very just like what is easy at that moment. It's not necessarily just like a process in itself. Like, I like every song being different in that way. Like, I feel like it just makes it, for me personally, like, no one's going to see that, but like that song means something to me the way it was created.
Like, okay. Sounds like you're very busy. Sounds like you've got a lot of things going on and a lot of ideas bouncing around in your head.
Yeah, all the time.
So a lot of the time it's kind of like it comes together in piecemeal. Like you write a line or a title down and then you come back to it and find some chords to go with it and play around and see what happens, kind of thing.
I think recently though, since I've like actually recorded my own stuff, I hear all the parts kind of in my head. Mm. So I'm like, now that I've been really playing pedal steel, I hear pedal steel parts. Like, it's insane. I have to go and like try to make that idea work, or like I'll play something and then have that demo and then work out the steel part and then work out a bass part and kind of work out the parts just after I've written it. Like, the writing process isn't necessarily just like me writing the lyrics and the chords. It's like, that is the structure and that is the like vocal part. Like, I don't necessarily think of melody too often.
So sometimes the lyrics come after. Like, you
no, I would say lyrics, I think lyrics are front and center. Like, I always try to make, even when I'm recording, just the vocals are what everything surrounds and the chords kind of accompany that. And then everything else kind of fits in spot and works itself out. But
so you think compositionally, though, while you're writing?
Yes, definitely.
Like, while you're sitting down, writing lyrics, playing around with chords and melodies, you're hearing parts as you're writing.
Yes.
That's amazing. And then, so are you typically drawn more to lyrics or harmony? Like, I know you just said lyrics are kind of like front and center, lyrics and vocals, but did you, like, when you first started writing, was it the lyrics that drew you to it? I mean, that's, you know, classic country, I feel like.
I think definitely, like, a lot of the music that I listen to, I appreciate the lyrics kind of more than anything, but I don't know. It's always like a double-edged sword, because I'll say that and then be like, well, you know, like when you were saying for with pop country and stuff like that, like what I appreciate about pop country is the production, right? Like if you really watch people work in Nashville like that, they have like such a crazy process on how they do things. And yes, it sounds overproduced. It sounds like this, but it's like so like to the point and like so layered, like so layered.
Yeah. They run a tight ship down there, for sure. I know some people who work specifically in pop country and engineers that work in pop country and had the pleasure of meeting a lot of session musicians, but it's very much like, here's the song. You know, session musicians are so incredibly talented that they can literally come in, play it on the spot, and then everything's done in like an hour.
Yeah.
And then it's just so tight, locked into a grid. Yeah. You know, the lyrics are simple, but it works, like we were talking about.
It's very, it sells.
It's like, very commercially viable.
Yeah.
Do you think that pop country at all influences your writing, or is it just
probably absolutely not? No.
Probably. Let me think. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, the beer, boots, and trucks. Like, if I tried sitting down and writing that, I'd like, I don't know. I'd probably just get so bored of it. And like, I like writing songs that are for like getting people going, but I think there's better ways to do that. But that being said, I wrote a song, What Poison Are You Picking Tonight, which is literally what the song is. It's a party song. Yes. There's an intelligent way of doing that rather than being like extremely literal, being like, we've got beer, we've got boots, and we've got a truck. Like,
It's funny, my cousin Justin is a very big country fan, very big pop country fan. And I, strangely enough, even having lived in Nashville, never really liked pop country. But he introduced me to a song called Beers and Sunshine. And I forget who it's by, but, you know, every so often I listen to it and I'm like, this is actually...
Darius Rucker song?
Maybe.
It might be. I say that, like, no, like, I say, oh, I don't like pop country, but I have 100% heard that song.
It absolutely has a time and place.
Yeah,
if you're driving down the highway and you're Ford F-150 and it's summertime and you're heading to your lake cottage and you know, it has its place. Do you know the song called the parody song called Parked Out by the Lake?
No.
All right, I'm gonna have to send that to you after this interview. Nice. If those who are listening, definitely go listen to that song and you'll know what I'm talking about. So I know you mentioned Country Roads and, you know, Chris Stapleton and, all these artists that kind of, steered you toward writing, country, but do you, just out of curiosity, do you have one song that you remember that kind of shaped your interest in songwriting? Like, do you remember ever listening to or studying a particular song and then thinking like, I want to do this?
A lot. Like, I think once I learned that all songwriters kind of steal a little bit, I was like, where can I pull influence?
Absolutely. But
like pretty much any John Prine song, but my favorite John Prine song is Long Monday. And like the way he is just so like, I've seen him just like in like a quick interview or whatever, but he was like so quick with it. Like he just like was driving down the road and saw this lady walking, or like, that's not actually what happened, but like, for example, that would happen and it would click in his mind and a song would just roll out. And he's like, so the way he puts everything together is just like, it's elegant.
It's incredible. It's incredible. He's one of the most talented songwriters, lyric writers that I feel like has ever existed.
Yeah.
When it comes to just the craft of songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, he's incredible. Yeah. I also have, I used to play John Prine songs with my dad as well. And he's a really good example of someone who knows what he's doing when it comes to songwriting.
Yeah.
So, and then when did you decide, I'm going to take this seriously?
That's actually a good point, because like, I always felt like
I still don't take it seriously.
Sometimes. But I definitely, like, it's always been like front and center in my life, regardless of like it being a career. Because as a kid, you're like not thinking about that at all whatsoever, which is what I guess kids should do. But I think grade 11 was when I was like, okay, like I'm understanding the way my brain works musically, and that it is like pretty, like it's excelling from what I'm seeing. And like, I'm just so locked into like this. And like, I would start like obsessing over parts and stuff like that. And like literally write down every chart and everything for like the end of GISPA and all that. And like, I think all the kids get the, like the crunch at the end of that class. But like, I loved it. I loved the pressure like of that. And I was like, okay, like that's definitely
a sign,
but like also professionalism. I think that was really what GISPA taught me, was like the professional side of music, like going and recording in a studio and working with an engineer and an assistant engineer and being in that whole like space and working together. It really just showed me, it opened my eyes. I was like, oh, like this is so much fun. Like, and this is like seriously something I'm interested in. But I think the moment where I was like, this is what I need to do, I think is when I crashed my truck.
Whoa.
So long story, I was basically going to go get lunch with Soleil, who for the, everyone listening is my girlfriend. But at the time we were just meeting each other, and I was supposed to get lunch with her. And this was during Art Spring rehearsals for our Art Spring show.
Right.
And me being a wild teenager, I was driving very fast.
What are we talking? Are we talking 70?
I think for the corner, it was going about 60. But for the corner, you should probably be going about 40. 40. And it was very rainy out, and I had burnt my tires to nothing just being a teenager. Regardless, I smoked a tree and totally totaled my truck.
Wow, and I didn't know this.
I, like, yeah, I was, like, supposed to go back and rehearse my song and go and do dress rehearsals, and was like, wow. Like, totally in shock. But, yeah.
So how did that influence you feeling like, oh, I need to,
I'm about to get there. So after I did my whole, like, we got the truck off the road, I had to do my whole statement with the cops and all this, like, crazy, just, like, and almost, like, probably nearly dying. But that was kind of besides the point at that point. I was more just like, get this figured out. I got a ride to Art Spring, and it was, like, two songs before I was on. And I was like, didn't even say a word. I just went on stage and sang my song. And like, when I was on stage, I like felt my hand hurt. Like my thumb was very swollen, and it was finger picking. And I was like,
swollen from the crash,
I guess. I don't know. Like, I was in total shock. So it was like, I was very out of it.
Wow.
But I came off stage and was like, no, that's my purpose. Like, I can't compromise that whatsoever. Like, this is truly what I care about. And this is like I think of all my skills, that's kind of like my ticket to just like making my life happen, is like really pursuing it. And ever since then, it's been like fully like, I'm invested, this is what I want to do. And then the pretty much the following weeks, like going into that, I was like recording my album and mixing and like skipping class, going to the multi-purpose room and mixing. And like, my teachers were like, I wouldn't say I was the best student. Like, I definitely tried what I could, but I'm busy, and made that very obvious to my teachers. Like
I got more important things
to do. I have more important things to do. And like, again, I was like very obsessed with working on my craft. And it was like, I didn't care if it took over everything else. This was what mattered. And I just focused and focused and focused and focused.
Right.
And it's like definitely paying off. But I think it's also kind of ingrained now where I'm like, no, I like that, being so invested in it. Like,
So that crashing your car and then, you know, having that be a really traumatic experience. But that was an example for you of like, there's nothing that's more important. This just happened, but it's no big deal because I'm about to get on stage and that's what matters.
I think once I was at ArtSpring, that was what was going through my head. Cause there wasn't really like, I didn't want to just sit and be like, oh my gosh, that was scary. It was like, that happened.
I got stuff to do.
And it was actually very therapeutic. Like I think a thing that a lot of people, like a lot of songwriters, like it's a therapy. And for me, it's been very therapeutic, especially through my teenage years and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like whenever something truly traumatic happens, I have songwriting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've got to definitely do my end, not be an idiot and drive like a maniac show up to your gigs.
Yeah, like, hopefully you learned that lesson.
I did. That was, after that, I snapped out of it. I was like, there's no point. There's 0 point in being reckless when.
Amen.
That's what.
But is that a true cowboy?
Well, I mean, it's a great story. It was a great story.
But I do agree with you. I have been also writing since I was 12 or 13 and throughout my teenage years. That was some of the best writing I feel like I've ever done, even though it didn't necessarily result in the best songs, because now I'm older and have had more experience and education and have had more years to really like hone my sound and find my voice. But there's truly nothing like being a teenager and experiencing all those teenage emotions and being able to get it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, still I think of songs that I wrote back then, and sometimes you can even, you know, pick them back up and realize how much you've changed and grown. So hopefully that'll be an experience that you'll have for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So do you write often? Like what, you know, when you're talking about, you know, writing down an idea and then coming back to it and having all these compositional parts, you know, bouncing around in your head, is that like a daily occurrence at this point or...
I think it's daily, but I think my like attention span is so quick. Like once I write something down, like I like the weekends and I like staying up late. So when I have the time to do that, I really just like lock the door and just like really get into it. Like I really have to make the space. And I think in order to create song, I think having space around that is kind of just a metaphor all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of like, how often, it's pretty rare nowadays where I'm like, oh, I have one or two ideas a day. It's like probably once a week I'll come up with a really good idea and write it down and then come back to it and just try to. But it, I don't know. It feels kind of sad because when I look back at like going to a 3-hour writing session at school every day, the amount of things I came up with was just incredible. Like, and also the direction. I think having direction from other people to kind of push you, like, I don't know. I feel like when I was a teenager, I'd be like, oh, co-writes are stupid. But like, I think I'm realizing now that like the teachers were actually kind of almost doing that part and being like, here is a prompt, or here is like, write something down and then come back to it. And like having that extra bit of guidance was like, I think huge in just how much.
It's massively beneficial. And even if it's not necessarily a professor or a mentor or a co-writer, even just bouncing ideas off of your friends and family or people who know your sound, and especially people who aren't even musicians, I find that it's hugely a big part of like understanding what you're presenting as your song. You know, because when we're writing ourselves, and like you said, it's late at night and we're writing for 3 hours and we kind of get into our heads, and especially when it's a song that you've just started, I feel that when you play it for someone or share it with someone who is coming at it from a completely different perspective, they have, you know, so much insight as to like, oh, you know, I'll play a song for someone and they're like, oh, I really liked this part of it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that, you know, or... Mm. Why did you say this? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I actually don't know what I mean. That's a really good point. But do you think that at this point, I mean, you've been writing for
It's hard to say. I think through years? The school, it's longer than that. So like, at one point, I moved to this farm and we were living downstairs, and all the kids on the farm got together and we had our own little band, and they'd we'd play shows together. But like, again, I was like probably 10, and we were all kind of collectively writing songs together.
So it's been a long time.
It's probably been a long time. But again, it was like so. Like it was a very short stint where I was like, would that actually be me writing? But I guess, you know.
It was part of it.
It's part of it.
So do you find that at this point, do you feel confident about your writing style and your voice as a songwriter and what you've presented, what you're currently presenting on stage, maybe new songs and the songs, the 13 songs from your album? Like, are you happy with the direction that you're going? Do you feel comfortable and confident in your songwriting at this point?
Yes and no. I think like if I hear any of the songs on my album, I like kind of cringe a little bit, which
that
like
is, I hate to tell you, man, that's yeah. That's a forever thing.
I know.
That's part of being a writer and a musician and
yeah,
artist.
I think the songs themselves, like as lyrics, I'm happy with. And like I don't really, especially with that album, I wasn't putting a lot of pressure on myself. It was just like experiment, and the best of what you got can go in there. And like if I was to do that again, I'd probably pick like a quarter of that and then keep going. And like but again, at the same time, I think that was so important for me to just like totally try things out and like just learn from that. Like I'd learned so much about producing music, like
absolutely. And also to be 18 years old and release an album of 13 songs
yeah
that is self-produced
yeah
is really an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, seriously. especially having like a very specific genre, you know, I don't know if people can relate to this, other songwriters, but when I was 18, I was very much influenced by so many different styles and so many different artists and different experiences that I was going through in my personal life, and going through phases of listening to, you know, electronic music and then folk music and then pop. You know, I was very wishy-washy in regards to like, I know who I am as a writer, but I don't know who I am as an artist necessarily in terms of what category I fit into. But it seems like you're very comfortably situated in country, you know, and whatever that means for you, but it's really valuable to kind of like know, what place you have as an artist, and then within that be able to like push the boundaries and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of different music tastes. Like I can pretty much listen to anything, like even pop and even pop country. Like I find appreciation in music so much because I've just been around it for so long and have had all sorts of been pulled in so many different directions in terms of influence. But I think having country, like I just is my writing style. Like it's not like I'm really trying that hard. Mm-hmm. Like obviously it's country, but like I'm pretty much just trying to express myself in like just how it comes out. And it just, especially when I was like doing writing, it was like so natural because it was like, this is my life and here is a guitar and me, and it's like kind of just, it flows through me. I'm not really like trying.
Right.
So I was trying to find something a little like more meaningful to say, but like,
no, it's so you're saying it's authentic. Like that's who you really are. You're trying to express yourself as a musician, as a songwriter, and that's
so
authentically
cliche. Oh
my God. Coming out. Well, it may be cliche, but it's true. And it's great to be able to say like, you know, I know that I'm that kid with the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat, but like, that's also who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
A part of me like definitely would love to experiment with other genres too. Like I love electronic music. Like it's all for moods, right? Like if we're saying like you're driving down the highway, like
beers
country,
and sunshine.
Beers and sunshine. There you go. But like also like if I'm working out, I don't want to listen to country at all. Like at
you don't want to be listening to John Prine while you're lifting weights.
No, like maybe if you're really sad and you just got to get it out. But like, I need like driving music. So like metal and like drum and bass.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right.
Well, you're going to go full circle to right where your dad started.
I wouldn't be
you
surprised.
You can start a metal band with your dad.
Yeah, I could.
That's amazing. Was your mom in the metal band with him?
No, not the metal band, but she was in the reggae band and she sings, and it was like very cool. It was like had funk, like it turned in a lot of different directions. It was like lots of reggae, but a lot of funk, and it was like it's such a cool style. Like I found a bunch of recordings. I guess it was like Bandcamp or something that Amazing. We listened to them, and it was just like I can't believe you guys were just like totally in this. And like I think they opened for like Mother or something, like wow. before, like definitely before they were famous. Like I don't know, it was just like they were all in this scene, and it was like so far-fetched for me when I was young, and then now I'm kind of going into that and understanding how like everyone is kind of connected in this like crazy music industry. Like it's
that's
weird.
Super cool.
Yeah,
well, especially when you come from a small town and small, you know, Canada I feel like is a small town when it comes like, to the music industry.
Kind of crazy though too, like I didn't realize there were so many like musicians that lived here, like just in general, but like actually who have their own like careers outside of Salt Spring. Like I think it's so easy to get locked into Salt Spring as its own little town, like, and that's kind of the beauty of it, but there's also like this other like entire world outside of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you should explore it.
Yeah, I'm definitely keen on
if
that.
If I could
sure.
give you any advice. Yeah. So do you feel that, you know, you say you listen to a lot of genres of music and it kind of depends on your mood, but do you feel that these other genres outside of like country and bluegrass and folk, do they also influence your writing style?
I think so too. Like, I don't know. I remember we were doing a bunch, like especially instrumental stuff, like especially when I was playing drums, like I was listening to so much Tool, and like I saw Tool live. My dad, my 12th birthday, I got to give credit to my dad. Probably one of the best birthday presents ever was going to see Tool live.
Oh my gosh.
And watching Danny at 12. Yeah. And then watching Danny Carey play, I was like, wow, this is like another level of musical, like technical just in general, but like the mind, like the way he plays is incredible. So I think I took influence from that and then went and did jazz, and it was like I'm taking this influence, which he's jazz based too, but like really seeing the musician rather than the genre, and then taking what I can to like really better myself. I took it into like doing jazz band, and I composed a whole Caravan solo, and I was like, oh, odd time signatures, this is so foreign and crazy. Which like I think it, yes, it's cool and very exciting, but I think also like it just kind of pushed me in a different direction. I was like, oh, the circle around like my limits was kind of just growing. And I was like, oh, there's so much more to explore than that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I wonder if you can write a country song in an odd time signature. Well, I know you can, but I wonder if you
will. I don't know. I think it's like, I think cause it's roots music, it's like very, very rhythm based regard. Like, it's kind of hard to think of that, but like the country rhythms kind of are actually very identifiable, and it comes from bluegrass because it's just like simple. But I don't know. I should try it. Like it would
I mean,
be cool.
Only if it feels right. As
I think I actually have tried writing a song. I don't think it was like country though. I think I was probably pulling some like Pussifer Tool influence and trying to like do it. I think something I want to try doing is like I love covers, but we, especially as a band, we were like, country stuff is so easy to cover, right? Like making a song country, like we did a Queens of the Stone Age song, and it just totally kicked ass live because it was like people were not expecting that. Like I remember my dad and his like boss were all at the table like, what? Like and it was so much fun to play, and I think we want to do more of that. Like since I listen to so much reggae, like I've come back to Bob Marley time and time again, and he's just like, it's hits so close to home, and I'm like, how can I make that country? Like reggae and country seem so removed, but
they're really not.
It's like it's roots music, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I liked what you said earlier about how a lot of music is just stealing from people.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've been writing music and releasing songs for a long time, but and I've had ebbs and flows of my relationship with songwriting and my relationship with music, which when you kind of dedicate your life to this, that's inevitable. And I'm sure it's something you'll go through as we all do. But that is the one thing that has always been consistent for me when I'm not inspired is listening to my favorite songs and listening to songs that I have, you know, that I've heard that I want to write or that I wished that I'd written. And then pulling things from that, like it's, you know, it's different when you're talking about covers, but I just feel that it's something that's so underrated in music is like just kind of lightly stealing from people.
Yeah. That's not actually like stealing. Like, there's discretion, but I like saying that because it's funny. It cracks people up.
No, it's pulling inspiration.
It's pulling inspiration.
Yeah. Or even if it is stealing, it's stealing like a chord progression, or it's stealing the feel of it.
I hate to sound like a music teacher, but you can't steal chord progression.
Yes. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it helps me when I'm like really not inspired to like listen to music, but also kind of go back and like, especially a song that like you listen to and it just like, you get a flood of memories of like the first time you heard it, or like the time, or like the things that help you get through or whatever, especially in teenage years. Cause you know, teenagers in music, it just clicks.
But, they just mix.
They mix. Yeah. But, yeah, just going back and really thinking like, okay, where was this headspace and why was I feeling like that? Like, yeah. Just asking good questions. Like, I like asking myself questions, meaning like, why?
Yeah. Right?
Even when I'm writing, as like, I know I said that like songs flow when I'm writing, but I also like to stop and just be like, okay, what am I saying? Or why am I saying this? Like, does this actually, am I expressing what I'm trying to say and like thoughtfully, rather than just being like, writing it all on, forget about it. It's not, there's more to it. There's more nuance.
That's a big part of songwriting. And that's a lesson that I learned, a couple years into writing songs, because, you know, I used to just throw up onto a page and just be like, this is it. Like, whatever I've just written, this is the end goal and this is it. And when I started really kind of studying it, I realized, oh, like, I actually need to take a step back and question, like you said, like, why am I writing this? What do I mean? What am I actually saying? And it's funny. I was saying to Justin the other day, like, I love songwriting and I love the experience of like inspiration hitting and really just like expressing yourself, like you said, kind of like therapy.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of songwriting is actually like dissecting everything.
Totally.
And he, I mean, bless his heart. I mean, having a husband who's also a writer and you write together, he was like, I know that that's what you would like to do in your ideal situation, because that's what you do to all of our songs and all of my songs.
Yeah.
But it's so fun to kind of like look at a piece of art from a distance and say like, what does this actually mean?
Yeah.
And how can I make it better?
Yeah. Like analyzing it. I feel like I have two ways of looking at it. Like, I think writing emotionally is like super important.
Yeah.
And that needs to be like, I usually start focusing on that and try to like hash out what I'm trying to say, and then like go back and be like, okay, how can I refine that? I think having the duality of looking at it is huge, but also leaving it alone. I feel like sometimes I mess with something so much that I'm like, why did, no, go back and like really just leave it. So like having that balance and figuring out like, it's a skill you have to practice doing, but just figuring out like, okay, too much or too little, like it's kind of like cooking a little bit.
yeah exactly. Right. Yeah, there is that metaphor between cooking and writing. But yeah, I agree with you that, you know, you need to get the emotional stuff out, because you need to be in the right place to be able to analyze your song.
Yeah.
I've been in situations where people, you know, mentors and songwriting professors have analyzed my song and I was still too emotionally attached to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, shut the fuck up. Fuck you. You know, like crying in the hallway, like, how could he say that about my song? And and sometimes you can even make yourself feel that way. So, okay, well, I always round out the interviews with the same two questions, and I'm very curious. You are the youngest guest that I've had on this podcast, and it's really cool to hear from someone who's, you know, at the same time has been writing and playing music for so long, but is in this very interesting place in your career and your life as a songwriter of, like, you know, you've just released your debut album, you are obviously very serious about this. And it's an interesting perspective to have in the place that you're in. So I'm wondering, what advice would you give to your past self when it comes to writing and music? And also, what advice would you give to your future self? Like, what do you want to carry into the rest of your career and your life?
I think that for my past self, I was definitely, like you said, emotionally attached to things. But I feel like I was also really just like not focused. Like, I feel like I was just like, oh, it's whatever.
Well, you were also
yeah, I know. 15. It sounds like insane. Like, I know, right? Like, it's really hard to do that because it's not, only...
but, I'm not trying to discredit it.
No, for sure.
I continue. It's just... it's okay. You're like, I was just not focused.
But I yeah, also... I feel like it was just like, if I... It's really just the woulda, coulda, shouldas at this point. But, like, I don't know. I feel like more... Just, like, I don't know.
Intention?
I think, yeah, more intention. I feel like if I was just more, like... focusing on that rather than like the whole school thing and stuff like that. Like, I think also like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the whole school thing.
It's not, so not like actually school itself, like all the homework and stuff like that. Every kid has to do that. I think also just like social dynamics and stuff like that. Like, I tried to be like, hang out with the cool crowd for so long. And then I like at the end of it was like, actually that's like such a waste of time.
Yeah, I could spend this time writing songs.
Yeah, that, and just like also like being in tune with myself. Like, I think in the last, like, especially with that album too, like, I really learned a lot about how I work and how I operate and like what's best for me, right? And
yeah,
I think like I definitely didn't like the last bit of grade 12. I was just like, alcohol is actually gross. Like, no, that, like, I need mental clarity. Like, I really just started like focusing on like how grounded I was. And like, if I had done that earlier, I don't know, maybe I would have been farther ahead. But again, you're in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very weird thing to say now because I'm only 18 looking back at like a couple years ago.
Well, that is why I'm laughing. But I absolutely agree with you. Like, when you realize you're passionate about something and when you realize that, like you were saying earlier, like, this is what I need to be doing. This is what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, when you have... when you can feel that passion like through your soul and your body,
yeah,
that needs to be met with focus and determination. Mm. And when those things combine, you know, only good things can come out of it.
Yeah, I think for my future self, it'd be actually the opposite. It'd be just like reel it back a little bit, like.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I am I laugh at myself sometimes because I will just put my, like, I'm such a workaholic sometimes. Well, I get to a point where I'm like, I need to be doing like a million and one things at the same time right now. Like, this is so dire and it's the end of the world. And like, I don't know, like, I'm definitely a very anxious personality, but like, I know that I'm that. So I know how to work around things. Like, I know how to work around myself.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my own way. But yeah, I think just like, sitting down and realizing like I'm doing so much, it's like so fast, like it's okay to just relax and mm-hmm. take a break. Like, I think like anytime I really talk with someone who I haven't really connected with, they're like, how are things, like, what are you up to? And then I really start like thinking, I'm like, actually I've been up to quite a lot. Like,
yeah, too much.
Yeah, but I kind of like it, like, at the same time too, where I go through these like very slow periods where I'm not seeing like progress or like mm-hmm. social media is the worst because you think like, you know, you're not getting out there all the time, but it's like so irrelevant. Like,
it that really... is a I would love to pick your brain as someone who who is 10 years younger than me and is kind of on the same a similar path that yeah. I was, but even with the difference of 10 years, like how the effect of social media is on your psyche and your career yeah. and your creativity, like, it's I can't even imagine.
It just sucks away so much, like, well, time. I know, like, I've probably said that a million times already. But yeah, it's just such a waste. Like, I've realized, like, I've really just like realized how much, like, already I wasn't really spending too much compared to a lot of people my age, right? And I'm very like, I don't like, I get, like, I'll totally catch myself pick up my phone and I'll just put my phone down because I'm like, why did I just pick up my phone? Mm-hmm. And you, like, look at how many times you pick up your phone and you're like, I picked my phone up, like, 200 times today. Like, why? Like, how, yeah. how do you even do that? Like, it's stupid. It's mm-hmm. so stupid. And I think, like, now with the music industry, like, ever since COVID being a thing and now we're in this new kind of age of the music industry where everything is just, like, so fast. Like, mm-hmm. why is everything so fast? Like,
yeah. And then you feel like you have to kind of catch up. Keep to up, that.
But like, why are you people running the rat race when you can just kind of do your own thing and like hope that it works out? Like,
yeah,
I hate really relying on like faith that like, okay, what I'm doing is going to work out. But I'm also really just sick of how it's structured, especially with social media. And like, you have to post every day. Like, why?
Why?
Why? Why do I need to be on?
I don't have a song like to share every day.
Or even just like people like making music, like making content. Like, why are we content creators? Like, we're artists, right? Yeah. And then you kind of hand that all off to a record label or a manager or someone doing that for you. And it's like, no, it's the same thing. It's like you're just handing it off to someone to just like make a robot satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, literally. It's
I
don't like it.
Well, I liked what you said earlier about how when you're writing, even though it sounds a certain way, you're actually just trying to meaningfully and authentically express yourself. And I think that, to me, that's kind of all that I can ask for, you know, the artists that I like, because I don't want them to feel like they have to like constantly be filling my cup. I want it to be something that they feel good sharing and that I feel good receiving, because we both know that it's authentic and meaningful.
That's like, especially like, I think you and Justin are a great example of like artists who, like, when I go and see you guys, I'm like, I know them, like, we're cool. But like, it's also like, I really enjoy watching that show as well, because it's like an in-person experience, right? And like, you know, I'm totally fine with other people posting their stuff, and like, I get the whole social media game, but it's just a game. Like, you don't really have to play it all the time. You can focus on the real life music. Like,
yeah. And did you notice that? I know we didn't really talk about performing at all, but when you started performing, did you notice that that was something that you were drawn to, like actually connecting with audiences and like seeing how your songs could connect with people, like strangers and like, you know, loved ones?
I really started noticing it when I'd make people cry. I'm like, wow, there's someone crying right now. Like, why? And it was like really weird at first, because it was like someone had just heard my song and is now bawling their eyes out in front of me and like telling me how important that was for them to hear it, right? And it was like, I felt that way when writing it, or like a different emotion or whatever. Like, I felt that and put it down on the page and then kind of forgot about it. And then when I performed it, I realized like these words and this melody and these chords actually have so much power. Like, music has always been such a huge part of just like society as it is now, but just like human culture for like ever, right? Like, it's the world language. And I think that social media is slightly destroying that and making it content based. So I think if I could have anyone listening, just like go out to a show, go watch some live music, see what's going on in your local scene, like you'll be surprised.
Absolutely. That's something that it was a big thing that hit me when I first started performing, was like, yes, I wrote this song. And I write a lot of songs that are really kind of close to my heart from experiences that I've had. But I realized, even if it's something that is so deeply personal to me, you never know how it's going to hit someone. And you never know how those lyrics and your performance of the song is going to translate to them and what their personal experiences are. I've had songs that, you know, I've debated even sharing because they're so personal. Like, lyrically, it's like, you know, the verses are like very specific.
They
lines
seem literal
about,
to you, like, almost, like,
and people have been like, wow, you have no idea how much that song means to me. Like, you know, I've had a woman in Nashville come up to me and she was like, you know, I recently got divorced and like this song that you wrote really hit me. And like, it was such a pivotal time for her in her life.
Right.
And I was a complete stranger that came out of nowhere and sang a random song that I wrote about something that was so incredibly personal that I thought nobody could ever relate to. And it's such a beautiful part of music. And I'm sure that with your lyrics and your songs that I've heard, they hit people like that really hard.
I actually have a funny story, because at Sunfest, like when I went in there, I was totally expecting to be like unknown, play my set and kind of go off and then maybe see a couple people. But I was actually using the urinal, which was absolutely disgusting. Like, the shower and bathroom situation there was just horrendous.
Of course, it's a festival.
But some guy literally was like, hey, are you that Salem kid? And I'm like, in the middle of doing what I'm doing, I'm like, Yeah, like, can I have a second? And then he was like this super sweet guy, and he was like, I literally heard your song. I was driving down the road and I had to pull over, and I like was just like,
Shazammed it.
No, he literally had to like listen to the whole song through, and he was like, oh my gosh, like, who is this kid? But like, this song actually just affected me so well. And then like, his wife came over and was like, yeah, this song is like seriously like his favorite song or whatever. Like,
Wow.
and that was like
So
a
you never
very
know.
weird moment because I was like totally caught off guard, and like, but someone had to like pick me out of a crowd at a urinal and be like, hey, like, you seriously just affected me this way. And it's like,
Yeah, you never know when you're gonna come across these
yeah,
people.
and it's like that whole festival was just crazy shenanigans, but that totally stuck out more than anything because it was just like, oh, someone actually had to like
Yeah.
pull me aside and be like, hey, dude.
Yeah, and I think that we can very easily forget that part of being an artist because we are so self-critical and we release our songs and then are kind of done with them. But it's a really big part of it, even if you're not performing and connecting with someone, you know, personally, it can be like, oh, I heard your song, I came across this, you know. It's a big part of it that, you know, is we should never take for granted.
100%. I
Yeah.
think to reiterate what I said earlier, go to a live show, go experience live music, like,
Amen.
amen.
Amen. That's it. That's it. That's all. So tell everyone how they can support you.
Just go find my music. I'm on Spotify and Apple Music and streaming services. Like, I think most artists nowadays do that stuff. I wish I had CDs, but I don't because I'm in the whole new generation of kids who
That's
doesn't have that. But soon, I keep saying that, but soon, I think it's important that people have physical copies.
absolutely. And even though you don't love social media, please follow Salem on social media.
I'm on Instagram. I have a TikTok, but I literally don't open that app.
Well, flood him with followers on TikTok. Do you have Facebook? I know
I
Gen
do
Z
have
is.
Facebook. Yes, I do.
Wow.
But my face, like my profile isn't full. Like, you know how much I love social media.
Well, yeah, most importantly, listen to Salem's music.
And if you are in the area and there's a live show and you hear my name, please come on by. I'd love to chat and love to connect with people.
That's very sweet. And it's not Salome, it's
No, it's
Salem.
Salem.
Unlike what I called you for like the first year that I knew your name.
Honestly, at
Justin at one
this.
point was like, it's Salem. I was like,
No.
Salome,
You're not the only
Salamander.
one. You're pr like, it's weird when someone gets it right. So,
Yeah, I mean, same. That's also a blessing of being a performer. They're always going to get your name wrong, but it's more fun that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, thank
Right
you
on.
so
Thanks for
much.
having me.